how has Father's love impacted you, the ministry in itself?
So the ministry impacted me. It's greatly impacted me. I remember when I was about seven, eight years old, when we were coming to Father's Love, and they would send the bus around to Village Lane and come pick us up. You know, Mr. Kevin would drive, and you know, we were all so happy and giddy to be there. Miss Marty always had a new dance, or she had a great song to go through. And I remember back then, when she did one of her lessons, was that God will mold you into what you need to be. And she read Isaiah 64, chapter 8. And that scripture just resonated with me that night. And, you know, like every night she always asked, you know, does anybody need prayer? Would anybody like to be prayed for? Does anybody want to know God? And that night, I just felt it in me. And I told, you know, we had Miss Nina, Miss Dolores, and Miss Tony. I went to Miss Tony and I told her, I'm like, Miss Tony, I want to be like that clay. I want God to mold me into something better. And I want God to shape. I want to be what God wants me to be. So I really feel like that night, me being at Father's Love, put me on a path that I could not be on. For me personally, if Father's Love was not here. And I just feel like that all the wonderful things that Miss Marty and the staff put on, teaching scripture through song, and just all the wonderful things that they taught us through dance, through music, and just exposure to all different things that, you know, you go to church. For me, being raised in church with my family, my grandmother would take us every Sunday. It's just not the same. It just wasn't the same. And, you know, for me, I felt like Father's Love definitely helped me to gain a closer understanding and gain a much deeper connection with my faith. And I'm just so happy for being able to be a part of Father's Love. It gave me so much as far as you know, meeting so many people. It even gave me a mentor with Pastor Dave Rock, who just came through and would come pick us up. Me and my friend Christopher Johnson would come pick us up and go take us to go get Dairy Queen, you know, in his spare time. And, you know, it was just so many wonderful things that this program has done for me. You know, even when we didn't have food sometimes, and, you know, we would come to Father's Love because, you know, Mom would be like, yeah, you know, make sure, you know, you go out tonight. So we went out tonight and we would come and, you know, we'd always have something to eat. And, you know, Miss Marty would always give us a bag with, you know, some food to take home. So it definitely impacted me a whole lot, because without this place, you know, there could have been a lot of hungry nights that we had. There could have been a lot of just what this place offers. It's an amazing, amazing place of respite in Christ. And I'm so happy. I'm just so overjoyed for what this program has grown into and just the direction that it will go in the future.
Oh boy, and Rashad is enrolled in medical school. How about that, huh? Woo! Isn't that awesome? So this is that transition. Miss Marty, who founded this ministry 23 years ago, is retiring December 31st. So we have a couple that's been serving there for 7 years now, Gerald and Michelle Carroll, and ready to being trained over these years and ready to step in. They've already stepped away. He stepped away from his full-time job. And so this offering that we're receiving today is to make that transition as smooth as possible and help this ministry not just continue, but go to new levels. Let's give the Terrells a big hand for their willingness to serve in this way. You guys wave at us a little bit so they know who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. So as far as instructions go, we don't pass the plate in the last number of months, but we have these offering boxes here at each door. And so when you write a check, you need to notate it that it is for Father's Love, just so write the check to Living Waters Church, But if the check is broken up, some for your tithes and some for Father's love, then write that down at the note tape bottom. Or if you do two different checks, then on the bottom of one for Father's love, put Father's love on that. Family of God, online, we do have, as you know, online giving. And in the drop-down menu on that particular page, you can go straight to the drop-down menu, and there's a Father's Love location there on the drop-down menu, so you can do that. We're not going to try to count that today and give you an announcement today, because we know some people might be doing their online giving, you know, tonight or so forth. So we will next Sunday announce the total giving along with what's already come in from the leadership. So this is just an exciting time. God is confirming his will that this is the time for such a time as this, that our community still needs, if not more so in this season, this ministry. And so it's a valuable ministry that we have an honor to be a part of. Why don't we pray over that offering as you're waiting on the Lord? Some still might be saying, God, you know, what number? We're got a couple of numbers you're praying over, and let's pray over that. Let's also pray for our tithes and offerings for the church as well. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the provider of all the needs of Father's love, past, present, and future. And so we're so grateful for that. And also for our church here at Living Waters, our trust and our dependence is upon you. Lord, lead your people as they've been open to you and with the generous spirit, Lord God, to give into your kingdom here, and specifically for Father's love this week. Lord God, we ask for your leadership to be clear in our hearts and minds. And we pray, Lord God, as we give both to Father's love and our tithes, that you bless our giving, that the kingdom of God will expand in our hearts as we obey you, Lord God, and that, Lord, the natural provisions, the material things that we do need, you know everyone, and that we don't have to walk in worry and anxiety about those, but we trust you in those as well, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, all right, cool. Yes, thank you so much. Well, good morning. My name is Stephen Riley. I'm lead pastor here at Living Waters Church. It's an honor to serve you and serve you, our spiritual family that's online. We love you. Glad we're connecting right now. So the body of Christ needs to be the house of prayer, people of prayer more than ever. And I've started last week a series on prayer. And that's going to continue for another couple more weeks after this. And last week, I just went to a foundation of prayer. And I'm so really enriched by the worship this morning about who Jesus is in heaven and how we spent time in the book of Revelation of what Jesus and God is like. And that image of his greatness, his majesty, his glory and power is written in Scripture for us to imagine and use our imagination. I said last week, and I say it again, I love fall weather because it's a little cool outside. It's crisp. And yet you can get out there on a sunny day and just get your face in the sun. And that's what the face of Jesus is like. It's a reminder. His face is like the face of the sun, and it's bright and it's warm and you're drawn to it. You want to get closer to him. And that was how we got into it last week. And I'm realizing today is kind of a part two, because we're going to look at another aspect of Jesus, but how he prays for you, how he prays for me, particularly in this one passage in John 17. And so we're going to see how there are five prayers in this chapter that he is praying for us. Well, we need to pray those prayers too, don't we? Over ourselves, over our family. And so this chapter is just a monumental chapter for us, and also for our prayer life. Let me just pray over this message in the Word and over us before I get into it. Lord God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to open up our ears to hear what you specifically want us to receive and apply to our lives. Lord, I ask that you help me in relaying these truths, that you would guide me in any more specific ways. But Lord, I yield myself to you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 17 is the last chapter of several. Well, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, red letter means that's the actual words of Jesus when he was speaking. And this is the, it starts in 14, chapter 14 through 17, where Jesus is just speaking out his last words to his 11 disciples because Judas has just already left to go betray him. And so now without Judas there, his most intimate friends, he's been ministering and leading and discipling for 3 full years. Now he is giving them the last words before he's betrayed. Because chapter 18, the next chapter is when they actually get to the Garden of Gethsemane and there he's betrayed there at the garden. So this set of chapters is all read. Awesome. chapters to study and read over and over again. But this prayer in John 17 is the longest recorded prayer we have of Jesus. And it's in a sense his last prayer he does with them as a group all together, the 11 together. This is it. This is his final prayer with them together. This is the conclusion of a 3-year friendship following where they've grown to understand who he is and what he's about, and now it's over with this prayer. This is it. This is the last thing he's going to say over them, speak, and pray over them before he gets betrayed. And so this is a prayer that for Jesus, who's Son of Man and Son of God, had to be just from the bottom of his heart. From Jesus' heart, this is it. His whole life of 33 years, this is it. This phase is over. This ministry where God was using him and teaching, preaching miracles, wonders, and deliverances, it's over tonight at the end of this prayer. And it had to be for him just from the bottom of his heart and the transition moment where now he steps into another phase, chapter 18, I'm going to follow God, my Father, through the sufferings, whatever it takes, I'm going to obey God to the end, my Father. And so this is a transition moment, and this is, so it's actually, John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. We use that phrase on the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we use, that's actually our prayer. He said he was sharing the Our Father who art in heaven prayer for his disciples to teach them how to pray. So it's our prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is what he prayed to his Father before his transition into suffering began in a group setting. We know he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane by himself, but with his group of 11, this was it. So in a sense, this is the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to just read here, start reading at verse 1. And we're not going to read the whole prayer because it's fairly long, but we're going to read portions of it, most of it, and ask the Lord to reveal things to us that we particularly need. Verse 1 of John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Now, he's saying the hour has come. This is that transition. And he's saying he's lifting up his hand. Now, it was Jewish tradition practice to raise up holy hands before God in prayer. So probably he had his hands up like this, and he's lifted up his countenance, his eyes, and he's looking to heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with closing your eyes and folding your hands, but isn't it funny? Our cultural culture kind of way to pray is almost like the opposite. Close your eyes and bow your hand. That's okay. You can help focus. Closing your eyes can help you focus and not be distracted. Closing hands can help have self-control and focus. But if you're using your imagination, Jesus was probably had his hands open like any other Jewish man that would be praying to the Father, and he opened up his eyes. And he says this. Again, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Stop there for a second, because that is one of my life verses. This verse, verse 3, was my primary verse for discipleship when I was a young man. When I was gave my heart to Jesus late in my senior year in high school, but that year I did pray to God that you would help me decide where to go to college. I figured, I do believe God is creator. He's above all the universe. He's all-knowing and all-wise. Surely he knows what college for me to go to, and I applied to 7 schools. So I was like, God, somehow show me. And that decision, and I won't get into that, but was the first time I ever asked God to speak to me and reveal his will to me. It was the first time in my life. I ended up being at Oral Roberts University, and it was the first week there was freshman orientation. We didn't have any homework that week, and a family member of mine had given me a cassette tape, and it had the teaching. The title was Knowing Him. And it was based off this verse right here. And this woman preacher was saying, God Almighty wants to give you eternal life. And eternal life can be defined in this one way, is to know him personally, relationally, intimately. That the Greek understanding of this word here for know is not just a head knowledge, an intellectual knowledge. This is an experiential, relational understanding and knowing someone, even intimately. And the way she just hammered this point over and over again in this message, I was like, God, I need that. I want you, because, yeah, I believe you exist. I believe you're all-knowing and all-powerful and you're wise, and that's why I asked you, where should I go to college? But can I really know you relationally and personally? And this verse, as I dove into the Word of God as a freshman in college and going to Bible studies and worship sessions and chapel services, this was my foundational verse right here. To remind me, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations of do's and don'ts. It's much higher than that, but it's God saying, I give you eternal life. And what that is knowing me beginning right now. I had to go into that. I just love this verse so much. I had to do it. And in prayer, what does it mean? That means that it's the approach of our prayer time, or prayer in the car, prayer during the day. It's a relationship. It's not just going through a certain list, but it's a relationship with Jesus who loves us so much. Verse 4, Jesus is still praying and speaking. He says, I glorified you, Father, on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given to me. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So he's saying, hey, Father, give me that glory, verse 5, which I had with you before the world was. I've been clothed and I've embraced this humanity. I've been the Son of Man and the Son of God. I'm fully man, I'm fully God. But bring that glory back on to me again that I had before the world was, before this even they were even created yet. So he was looking beyond the suffering, even though he knew it was coming, he was looking beyond it, and he knew the reward he would get was going to be good. And he says, I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work. And so here he is, Jesus being obedient to finish his Father's work. He's saying this again. We know the phrase on the cross, we hear it is finished. And then he breathes his last. Well, here he says it even before this. He says, this phase of ministry, I've done all that you've told me to do. I've accomplished your work. So now I can transition on. I can go to this next era of my life. It's going to turn in a moment. And one night, I will be portrayed in the hands of the Roman soldiers. But that we understand is the nature of the God we serve. He was obedient and to the point and through the cross. Let's start now looking at the actual 5 prayers that he prays in this passage. He's praying for us. Number one, it's going to be, he's praying that the Father keeps us in your name. Keep them in your name. Let's look at that, those verses there. It starts at verse 9. Jesus says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. You know, Jesus is saying, hey guys, I'm going to the Father. I'm out. I got to go through some suffering first. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If you read these chapters, chapters 14, 15, 16, there's continual teaching about the Holy Spirit. So he's preparing them. Don't worry, it's better that I go and leave with you someone that can be with you 24/7. But he's saying, I'm leaving the world, but you're going to stay in the world. But that famous phrase, be in the world, but not of the world. And so he's saying, you know, Father, I've kept them. I've been guarding them. Now, Holy Father, I ask you to keep them in your name. What does that mean, keep them in your name? A keep is another concept of a fortress, of a protection, of a guard. And when you read the Psalms in the Old Testament in the military framework, you get this a lot, that God is our shelter. God is our keep. He is our protector. He is our fortress. He provides safety for us. And that's what he's saying. And that's what he did to them. He kept them in your name, meaning that when you have a letter signed by someone who has authority, it's in that person's name. I have the authority to be protected, to live out this life, to be, you see what I'm saying? So it's the name of God that gives us authority. He gave us the name of Jesus to pray in his name. And you, if you Google it, how many names of Jesus, how many names, you get 100, you get 175, you say the names of God, you get up to 950 names and titles of God in the scriptures. So they're not really all names. Some of them are titles, but you can't get a right number. It's just a lot of names of God out there that you can pray over and say, by the authority of the word of God, I say to you, Lord, you are my bread of life. You're the light of the world in my life. You see, we have hundreds of names of God to walk out in authority and be protected and guarded. So that's what he wants. He wants us to be protected and guarded by the Father through the Holy Spirit. And that is something to shout about, isn't it? That's right. That's right. Prayer number two. Let's start reading verse. Well, let me just say it. Keep them from the evil one. Starting at verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so that's what we have here, is that Jesus is saying, even though, yeah, you're staying in the world to be my witness, to be my light, but you're not going to be of the world. And so you need protection from the evil one. And that's what I pray to the Father, to keep them from the evil, protect them from the evil one. Now, this framework of this series, a several-part series I'm doing on prayer, is based out of the word, but I'm encouraging you to pray the scriptures. Here's a passage to pray for you that has five prayers in it. John 17, pray these scriptures. Last week, pray the scriptures about what Jesus is like, what the Father's like in the throne room in heaven. That imagination builds our faith. It gets us focused right. Pray the scriptures. Now, follow the example of Jesus when in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he is being tempted by the evil one. And what does he do? He prays the scriptures. He prays the scriptures, and we get recorded in that story three times where Satan gives him a specific temptation, and then he responds all three times, "It is written." And then he quotes a scripture that applies to the situation. He's praying the scriptures, and that's the authority that he stands on. And he, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, being without food, he's tempted, he's hungry, it's really a lot of temptation, and he gets tempted, and he has victory. So Jesus is telling us how to have victory over the evil one, how to walk and be protected, is to pray the scriptures. So, that's why you have your journal, your notebook. That's why you have note cards. That's why you have your phone with notes in it, because you are writing down scriptures that you need for a certain situation or for a certain area in your life or for that month or something coming up. And you look and you say, "God, give me a scripture for this." And you keep reading, you keep Googling it until you find one that said, "Yes, that's it." And you write it down. So you can pray the scripture. So then when you're tempted in that area, you can find it in your journal. You got it underlined and starred in your Bible. You can go there or memorize it even better, and you can speak it and say it, because that's where your authority lies, is in the scriptures. What Jesus did. And he did that to defeat the enemy. And then he says that in Matthew chapter 4, after he said, "Now go, Satan." He tells, "Go, Satan," after he quotes the scripture. And we just kind of shorten our prayers and say, you know, "I resist the devil and he must flee." We'll use a scripture along with it. And it's, "I resist you, devil, with, because this scripture says," boom, and knock him upside the head and keep on moving. All right. Thank you for that. Amen. All right. All right. So that's prayer number two. Keep them from the evil one. Prayer number three, sanctify them. Verse 17, 18, and 19 of this chapter says, Jesus saying, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." So he's saying, hey, you're going to be in the world, folks. I'm keeping you there. You need to be in there. I want you to shine your light, but I'm going to protect you, and you're going to be able to have victory over the evil one, and you need to have a continual process of sanctification when you're in the world, or it's not going to turn out pretty. And what sanctification means, sounds like a big word, won't use it much, but it just means a continual cleansing of your life to be more like Christ, to more purification, to be more like Christ, where you make decisions by the grace of God to separate yourself from things that are worldly, that are pulling you down spiritually, that are profane, that you know are you know, tempting to you, and you separate yourself, not separate yourself from the world. He's been clear about that, but then you turn to God in that area. And that turning is a consecration. It's just, "God, I'm asking you to cleanse me in this area." And the priests, they were set apart for what? To be dedicated to God. And you do the same thing as a priest in this kingdom. I separate myself from this because this is pulling me away. And I move and I dedicate myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. See, prayer changes things. Amen. Better yet, prayer changes me. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to be in the world. You need to be continually changing to become more like me. Transformation to be more like Christ. Lord, your prayers are powerful. They change things, but they also need to change us. And we join into this. So if you go, "Well, you know, I'm good, I'm consistent, I'm like a rock, I don't change, man, I keep my convictions." Let me tell you, if you're not open to be put to the Lord, to be changing, and open to the body of Christ, maybe you need to do some changing. You know, you want to be continually growing in Christ, becoming more like Him. couple of more. Prayer number four. May they be one. May they be one. Verses 20 and 21 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Just a second. Did you catch that? I'm not praying just for the 11 sitting in this small group here, but I'm also praying for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. He's putting a highlight on this, that this is not just for you 11 close friends. Don't split up and splinter up after all this suffering I'm going to go through. You guys, you need to stay unified. He's speaking to us now, verse 21, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So somehow this is a very spiritual unity that among us right here in this room, right here online, among our families, spiritual family, natural families in Christ, Christians down the road in your neighborhood, Christians at the church that you pass all the time, Christians that are, God has this spiritual unity that's centered in him. That when we're in him, and he said, in us, in our community, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, we have a community. We're saying you can spiritually, you can actually be unified with us. And in that, you guys can be one with us. So there's a supernatural spiritual unity that he's praying over us and says, this is my will for you. That you are one and unified. So I just want to apply this to our Living Water Church. You've heard me mention Prayer Bridge. We're moving our connecting through prayer to a different way. We're going to have just little groups of, you know, 3, 4s, and 5s of women, 3, 4s, and 5s of men, to just twice a month, once a month, just connect perhaps online in a Zoom or a conference call or in person for a short time of sharing prayer requests. And then we're going to also have another time a couple weeks later by a group text or a group email, just a way to follow up and how you're doing. Because there's two ways that you can get unified with another believer that I've experienced over 30 years of being a believer. There's two ways. One is in prayer, and another one is through worship. And so this is saying, during all this pandemic and quarantining and during all this, these different meetings that have to be canceled, have to be online, we're going to, in prayer, establish a foundation in our spiritual family, in our relationship to Living Waters, that we continually are lifting each other up in simple prayer. I want everyone involved. I want everybody to just have these two touch points each month where you are connecting with another a man or another woman in prayer. And because I want us to obey God in this prayer. And we want to be a house of prayer. It's a foundation of our relationships. The other way is worship. And I just throw this in next Sunday. I'm so excited about Bishop Justin Barnes, African-American pastor in Shelbyville, who's going to lead us in worship. I got to know him because he and his church and friends were leading a Martinsville 30 nights of revival services in a park in Martinsville over the summer. And I went a number of times to those to be a support and participate. And so they asked me to preach, and a couple of other white pastors who were involved, they preached as well. So they were following this prayer, that even though we're in a black neighborhood and even though we're a black church and even though right now there's a racial unrest in our community and nation, I'm reaching out to you, white pastor, because I want you to impart into us and preach for us that they revival. So they're doing this. And his church has been in renovation since the pandemic and they ran into some delays, so they're not meeting back on Sunday mornings yet. So he's available, and that's why I'm excited, because I've heard him worship. I've heard his brother play the drums and worship. I've heard his little girl sing worship songs. I've seen his friends lead out in worship songs. I'm like, I sense the presence of God moving through them. I feel unified with them. I hardly know them. You know, the first night, you're like, how does worship do that? You hardly know somebody, but if you're in a worship experience together, you sense this closening happening, and it's because there's one that we're all focusing on, and that unifies us, and his presence touches us equally, and it's like, oh, Lord, There's a unity with you and one another. It just can't be. And this is what the Church of America must do. It's one of the things we can do. It's for the pastors and the people to show whatever unrest is and divisions are happening out there, we have one that brings us together despite that. And so now is when people do need to see people of diversity, people of different stances on mask and no mask. We are united in Christ. Differences politically, we're united in Christ. We've got to find ways to stay united in Christ, because there's many things that will tear the body of Christ up right now. Many things. And this is why Jesus prayed this over us. All right, number five. May they be with me. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up, because I'd like to have some worship environment as we get into this last point, this last prayer. May they be with me. Let's read this verse. This is verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. So there he is. He's talking about this glory that you've given me even before the foundation of the world. And he's saying, I want my children, I want my followers to be with me where I'm going. I want them to see my glory. It's almost like he's getting excited and said, Father, I'm getting closer, though I've got suffering to go through, but I'm getting closer to being my glory restored and being in my kingdom where the heavenly hosts surround me and they worship and they constantly are worshiping and there's in the throne room and I'm here and I'm, as he said, the first sentence of this whole discussion, John chapter 14, the beginning of that chapter, he says, do not fear. I'm going to a place to prepare a place for you, a room for you in my house where there's many rooms. He said, do not fear. I'm going to bring. So this whole prayer, he ends with that beginning saying, I want to bring them to be with me in heaven, in this eternal kingdom that I rule over. And I want to give them tours of my home. I want them to give tours of the, I want them to see me in the, my eyes with the blazing fire and the sword coming out of my mouth. My hair is white aglow and my robes are white and I'm fire coming out of my feet and glowing like bronze. I want them to see, to be, live there with me. I'm excited. It's like he's a little kid, you know, someone who just bought a new house and I want to show him the new house, or this show and tell. I can't wait to show you my show and tell. I can't wait for my children to be with me in a place where I'm going, and it's glorious. It's magnificent, and there's no barrier. Our knowing, our relationship, our love, there's no obstacles. It's, we're free to love, and he's excited about that. He's excited about the eternal perspective that we so often lose in these times of distraction, disruptions. And he said, even now, think about these things. Be excited about the day when your day will come where I'll call you home from this earthly life like I'm doing, and you no longer will be of the world, but you'll be with me in heaven. Get excited about that. It's a great place where you're going. I'm able to bring a defeat in the greatest to the devil when he thinks, oh, I finally brought death. That's not it. The disciples, right? I mean, they were truly depressed at the cross and at his death. They didn't see what he's talking about right now. They couldn't walk in that hope of resurrection and victory over death. I love this phrase in this verse, verse 24. It says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. I desire. This is my will. This is my plan. This is This is us, everything coming together and culminating at the end is that my desire, greatest desire, is that we would be together forever. And here Jesus is, even though moments from now he's going to be facing betrayal, he's still praying for us. He's still praying for us. I go back to Revelation 3 I mentioned last week. The Laodicean church, who he corrected harshly, said, no, you're full of blindness. You're so proud. You're blind. He said, you're poor. You're wretched. You're naked. You hardly have any spiritual clothes. You're naked. But he says, I love those. I rebuke. I discipline those I love. Now, I am here knocking at your door because I want to come in and dine with you. Folks, let me tell you over and over again, he's repeatedly saying, I want relationships with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want this. Yes, I'm a God with fire in my eyes, but I'm knocking at the door to come and eat some peanut butter and jelly with you. Come on, let's just fellowship. Let's be together. It's a constant reminder of this desire of a love relationship. So let these five prayers be a foundation for us, that God does not want distance between us. And that's our word for the year, right? Distancing, distancing, distancing. That's opposite of the kingdom. He's saying, no, I want you to be where I am. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I want you to know me now. Eternal life starts now. The definition is to know me now. He is not thinking distancing. He is thinking intimacy. I'm just going to ask you to keep your hearts open to the Lord. Let him speak to you. I'm going to review these five prayers real quick. So if you're taking notes or on the list of five, you want to take a picture of this or picture of your screen is good. You want to remember these. Number one, keep us in his name. He protects us by the authority of his name. Number two, keep us from the evil one. There's protection. He knows how to do it. And says, it is written, right? You pray the scriptures against temptation and attacks. There's victory. Sanctify us. He wants us constantly changing to be more like him. A soft heart. A malleable life. That potter, Rashad talked about, that changed his life. That scripture where God is the potter and he's the clay. That we're soft and he can mold us. Number four, that we would be one. That's his will for us. And in these challenging times of divisiveness, we can rise with the grace and we can be one with one another and even outside our local churches. And may we be with him. That's his desire. That's his passion. I'm going to ask you just to stay in a place of worship right now. Let's just honor him and worship him in this song. Lord God, you are the author and finisher of our faith. And so right now, even in this moment, Lord, speak to us, guide us in us being able to apply these prayers, John 17, to our prayer life. We yield to you right now. Holy God on the throne, keep us in your name. Keep us from the evil one. Sanctify us, transform us. Lord God, empower us to be one. May we carry that call and ministry in the community. And Lord, oh Lord God, this just whets our appetite a little bit. That we will be with you in heaven in that eternal kingdom. God, it's going to be awesome and indescribable. Lord, you're whetting our appetite, Lord God, to be a kingdom, eternally minded people, to desire you, to be with you in eternity. Lord, we want to be a people of prayer. And we're asking that we walk in a deeper grace of that this week. And that this series, Lord God, will, Lord, just for the glory of God, we can say, Lord, you have brought us into a deeper place of prayer over these 4 weeks. That your word has had an effect on us. That your word did not return void. That your Holy Spirit was at work bearing fruit in us. And Lord God, that we go into Thanksgiving and December and in the holidays, Lord God, with a new level of prayer in our lives, of knowing you, desiring you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace is more than enough for this week and to follow and obey you. Thank you, Lord God. You're blessed. Have a great week.